All right, I invite you to take your smart pad, your smartphone, your Bible, whatever you have there, and I want you to find Exodus chapter 20, verse 16, one of the Ten Commandments. Also, I want you to find Proverbs chapter 9, find Proverbs chapter 12, and Revelation chapter 21. We look at Exodus chapter 20, verse 16. It's very, very simple. He says, "Thou shalt not bear false witness against your neighbor." I don't want to see a show of hands in either building. How many of you tell the truth in every situation? There were three American men who went to Mexico on business. One night while they were there, they decided to go out partying. The next morning, they woke up in a jail cell. They didn't know what they had done wrong. They didn't even remember getting arrested. And all three of them had been tried and sentenced to die in the electric chair. First one was put in the electric chair. The Mexican authority said, "Do you have any last words?" And the man said, "Well, I'm a graduate of Yale Divinity School." And he said, "I believe God has the power to intervene and free the innocent." They flipped the switch and nothing happened. So they said, "You're free to go." They put the next American businessman in the electric chair and they said, "Do you have any final words?" He said, "Yes." He said, "I have a law degree from Harvard University and I believe in the power of justice to free the innocent." So they flipped the switch, nothing happened, said, "You're free to go." Third guy sat down in the electric chair, the American businessman, and they said, "Do you have any final words?" He said, "Yes, I'm an electrical engineer. I have a degree from MIT, and if you don't hook up the two wires underneath this seat, you're not going to electrocute anybody." Now let me ask you another question. Do you always tell the truth in every circumstance? Read about a journalist the other day. She's just out of college. She was so excited, she had her first political assignment. She was covering a local governor's race. She went to one of the older statesmen, a reporter who had been in the business some 40 years, said, "Do you have any tips?" She said, "How can I know if the politician is telling the truth?" And he said, "Oh, that's really simple." He said, "If he's scratching his nose or pulling on his ear, he's telling the truth. But if he opens his mouth and moves his lips, he's always telling a lie." One of the latest surveys taken among American people is that 91% of American people lie routinely. We look at the ninth commandment, and here we find that God forbids all false and slanderous speech, especially about other people. The message here is very, very simple. When you speak about others, tell the truth and nothing but the truth. Now, this command right here for Christians safeguards our reputations as individuals. You've often heard that character is what we know we are. Reputation is who people think we are. Proverbs 22:1 says, "A good name is to be chosen above riches." First of all, I want us to go to Proverbs chapter 6. Proverbs chapter 6, and let's look at the origin of lying. Under the meaning of lying, let's look at the origin of lying in verses 16 through 19. Says here in Proverbs 6, verse 16, "There are six things the Lord hates. Seven are detestable him. Haughty eyes," look at this, "a lying tongue, hands that shed innocent blood, a heart that devises wicked schemes, feet that are quick to rush into evil, a false witness who pours out lies, and a person who stirs up conflict in the community." We take this all the way back to the Garden of Eden. The serpent deceived Adam and Eve. Adam wanted to blame Eve. Eve wanted to blame the serpent. Now notice that Jesus was placed on the cross because of lies. Some say he was a glutton. Others say he was a wine bibber. Other people said he was leading a revolution against the Roman Empire. Others said he was seditionist. Others said he was a traitor. But all these lies were trumped up against Jesus that led to the cross experience. The Bible informs us that God hates lying. Ladies and gentlemen, as born-again believers, we ought to hate everything that our Heavenly Father despises. Well, some people say Jesus Christ taught love above all other virtues. Listen, Jesus Christ did not teach love trumping truth. We're supposed to love people in the truth. We're to stand up for the truth. Now notice the orchestration of lying, and just write this down, 1 John chapter 1, verse 6. And remember, 1 John is only written to Christian people. It says, if we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. John declares that we tell lies to others and we twist the truth, tell untruth. It is showing that we really do not belong to the Lord Jesus Christ. He says, if we say, in verse 8 of 1 John 1, if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. We lie to other people. Then we begin to lie to ourselves. Now listen to me carefully. There are two folks that you can't lie to and get away with it. Number one, you can't lie to yourself and get away with it. You know when you're lying. And number two, you can't get away with it with God. He knows our thoughts. He knows our hearts. He knows when what we're saying is untrue. Now notice the outcome of lying. And just write this down. Psalm 52, 2. Lies are like a sharp razor. They cut. I put a new blade in my razor the other day. I forgot to use a light touch on my face. Cut myself here, here, and here. Lies, look what it says, are like a sharp razor. Also in Psalm 55, 21, lies are like drawn swords. They pierce. Psalm 120, verse 4 says, lies are sharp arrows of the mighty, and they penetrate. James chapter 3, verse 8 says, the tongue is an unruly evil full of deadly poison. One of our precious members is seated to my left and to your right. I believe it was last year he went out to clean his pool before his family got up. He took his dog out with him and he was out there skimming the pool. And so he reached over and pulled the top off a skimmer. And he saw a frog in there. So he just reached in and got the frog. A few minutes later, his hand started stinging a little bit. His hand started turning red. So he decided he'd go back and look in that skimmer. He had just been bitten by a copperhead. You see, the copperhead was about to have breakfast with that frog. And our church member reached in and stole breakfast. So he cleaned some things up and put the dog away, went in and told his wife, honey, I've been bitten by a copperhead. What? Are you sure? They went to the hospital, wound up spending several days in intensive care. We're so glad he's still with us. But I want you to know that snake, sometime during the night, slipped through the grass, got in the pool skimmer. All of you have pools. I know you want to go swimming this afternoon. And by surprise, he was there and he deposited his poisonous venom. And the victim didn't see it coming. Let me ask you a question. How many lives are hurt by lies? Lying brings with it consequences for the liar. Listen to this carefully. Back in ancient Greece, a false witness faced a heavy fine. If the same fellow was convicted of perjury three times, he lost all of his civil rights. Listen to this. In the courts of Rome, if a person was guilty of lying under oath, he was taken out to a cliff and thrown to his death. In some places in the Far East, a man convicted of perjury was taken to a public place where, in the presence of citizens, his mouth was sewn shut permanently. Listen to this. In some places in ancient culture of Egypt, if a person lied under oath, they had their ears and their nose amputated. Under Mosaic law, a false witness was punished to the same degree that a defendant was subject to punishment. So if he gave false witness against a man facing murder charges, if that man was convicted, the man who was bearing false witness, who was telling lies under oath, was given the same punishment, the death penalty, as the one convicted of murder. The Bible gives a stiffer sentence. Now, if you got your Bible, just turn to Revelation chapter 21. And I want you to see here verse 8. Revelation 21, verse 8. Revelation 21, verse 8. And notice what the Word of God says. But the cowardly, the unbelieving, the vile, the murderers, the sexually immoral. Look at all that. Those who practice magic arts, the idolaters, and all liars, they will be consigned to the fiery lake of burning sulfur. This is the second death. How serious is lying to God? He says, if you're a habitual liar, you show you've never been born again, and you will spend eternity in hell. Now, I didn't say that. That's not Baptist. Certainly not politically correct. It's what we find the truth in the Word of God. Now, there are many examples of untruths. They take many forms. I heard about a man. He'd been married for many years, and he and his wife were going out to dinner and to a little party. And so they were in their master bath at their separate vanities getting dressed. She was putting on her makeup, and he was shaving. All of a sudden, he just stopped and said, "Who is this old man staring at me in the mirror?" And then he said, "What happened to that athlete?" He said, "Would you just look at me?" He said, "My chest is sagging. My stomach is the size of three men put together in one. What in the world has happened to me?" And he looked at his wife and said, "Honey, can you tell me anything positive?" She said, "Sure." She said, "Your eyes are still good. Don't you like that?" Well, you can't lie to yourself. And notice here, write this down. The forms of lies. First of all, slander. Exodus 20:16. The Hebrew, or the false witness here. He says here, it deals directly with the outright lie. Deuteronomy 5:20 says, "You shall not give false testimony against your neighbor." Now here, false testimony means insincere, empty, or that which is frivolous. Number two, tale-bearing. A tale-bearer tells something not knowing whether or not the facts are correct. Leviticus 19:16, "You shall not go up and down as a tale-bearer among the people." 1 Timothy 5:13, "And with all they learn to be idle, wandering about from house to house, not only idle, but tattlers, also busybodies, speaking things which they ought not." Now, here's one of the keys to that. When somebody tells you, "They say," let me ask you a question. Who is they? I want to meet they, and let's get it right. The next thing is gossips. Now, I saw one commentary. One scholar said, "The gossips are the verbal pest of our society." Now, let me tell you something. If somebody is telling some dirt on somebody else to you, guess what? they're going to tell dirt. What? About you to somebody else. Now look at this. It says here that a tattler, one writer said that a tattler and those who listen to gossip ought to be hanged. The tattler by his tongue and those who listen to it by his ears. How many of you know what Caterpillar heavy equipment is? There's a company that was a competitor to Caterpillar that had a huge, huge piece of equipment that they call their Model G. They demonstrated it one day, and a salesman was asked by a prospective customer, what does the G stand for? He said, well, it's like gossip. This machine moves a lot of dirt and moves it fast. I know some people like that. Other thing is whispering. Romans 1, 29 through 30 talks about the whisperers, the backbiters. 2 Corinthians 12, 20 says, for I fear lest when I come, I shall not find you such as I would, that I shall be found unto you such as you would not, lest there be backbitings and whispering. Those are the people who get behind the backs of folks. They're the backbiters. Those who are secretly behind you trying to destroy you and your reputation. Insinuating. You lie by saying very little. Somebody comes up and asks you a question about somebody and you say, well, I'd just rather not comment. It is true that we shouldn't say something bad about them, but sometimes by insinuation, you make it look like there's a skeleton in the closet. Another thing is flattering. Proverbs 26, 28 says a flattering mouth leads to ruin. Flattering is giving insincere praise. Flattering is saying to someone's face what you would never say to their back. Another form of lying and breaking this commandment is exaggeration. How many times have fishermen caught a fish, and after the fish, which was a trophy fish, is dead and gone, every time you tell the story, that fish gets bigger and bigger. How about this? Under Obamacare, your health care premiums will get lower and lower. Are you with me so far? Just trust me on this. And here's another one. If I hear this again, I will have to take something for nausea. Let me be clear. Exaggeration. Another one is convenience. Sometimes we attempt to escape consequences. Have you ever been pulled for speeding? Best thing to do, isn't this right, Dan? Just be nice to the officer. Just be nice to him. Thank you, officer, for stopping me today. I'm so glad you're doing your job. And you know what? These are my tax dollars at work, and you are employed by me as the taxpayer. Don't say that last part, because they'll double the fine. Our secretaries are having difficulty. One got pulled for cruising a stop sign a couple of months ago, and one got pulled for speeding last week. One of the ladies asked the police officer, said, well, how much is this going to be for cruising that stop sign? I didn't know I did that. And he said, I don't know. He said, we just turn it on the computer, and they just charge you whatever. That's a blessing, isn't it? I like the paper tickets, didn't you? I remember one time Delaney and I were driving her parents. And we were coming back from North Carolina. We got in South Carolina. Delaney's daddy always had those big park avenues. Do y'all know what I'm talking about? They were first cousins to the Titanic with four Michelin tires on it. And he always had this big V8 engine, and you could see the speedometer go this way and the gas gauge go that way. Well, I was just going down the two-lane road. I always said we didn't need to sweep the streets after he had been by, because, gravel, sand, everything blew up behind that big trunk. So I was doing them a favor and driving them back to Augusta. I topped the blind hill, and there's a police officer in the other lane. Oh, man. I had no idea how fast I was going. And all of a sudden, I looked in my rearview mirror. It looked like Smokey and the Bandit. I mean, he turned around, turned on his blue lights. Here we go. Well, Delane's mother, bless her heart, I had the best mother-in-law in the world. Before he could pull me over, she could say, "You're not speeding. You're not speeding. Why did he pull you over? You're just trying to help us get home." I thought, ooh, hold her down. And so, you know what they always do? They come where you're headed. Well, I'm just helping out my in-laws. Isn't that the truth? That's what I told you. I'm sticking to it. He said, how fast were you going? Yeah, so I thought I was doing between 55 and 60. He said, man, you're doing 65 to 70. I said, I didn't know it. I really didn't. So I did what they don't do now. I got out of the car and followed him to his car. And I said, man, I'm just trying to help my in-laws out. I had some good words. I just didn't have the violin. And so he said, here, I'm going to give you a warning today. Praise God. And so when I got back in the car, Delane's mama said, he gave you a ticket. He had no right to do that. Da, 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 da. I said, shh, it's a warning. In fact, I talked to him and told him maybe the tires on the front of the car were oversized. And you know that, your speedometer won't calibrate correctly. Dan, that's the latest excuse you're going to hear when you pull people over. And I want you to know, after we left, he got behind me and clocked me. And when I hit 55, he raised his hand to let me know the speedometer was calibrated correctly. Do you lie sometime so you won't have to suffer the circumstances? The other thing is silence. This is a sin of knowing. This is a sin of knowing the truth, but you just don't tell it. And then sometimes people lie under oath. That's the most direct meaning of this verse. God takes very seriously the testimony of an individual in a court of law. And notice here quickly the motives to telling the truth. I should tell the truth because lying dishonors God. Proverbs 12:22, the New Living Translation. The Lord hates those who don't keep their word, but delights in those who do. And you can fool people some of the time, but you can never, ever fool God. You can lie to yourself, but you can't ever really fool yourself. Now, the reason why Christians are called to be people who speak the truth is because we serve a truth-telling God. Romans chapter 3, verse 4 says, let God be found true, though every man be found liars. John 14:6, Jesus said, I am the truth. God the Holy Spirit is also truth. The Bible even calls him in 1 John 4:6, the Spirit of truth. 1 John 4:6, if God is true, then his word must be true. Everything that God has ever said is absolutely, unmistakably, entirely true. The book tells the truth, the scriptures, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. In John 17:17, your word is truth. John 17:17, so when I lie, I dishonor the God of truth. Second thing I want you to write down is this. As a believer, we ought to tell the truth because lying deceives other people. Proverbs 10:10. Someone who holds back the truth causes trouble. When you lie, you inevitably cause trouble for other people. You cause resentment, mistrust. You cause bitterness and anger. I was reading the other day about a court case. The prosecutor had a witness on the stand, and the prosecutor thought that this witness actually was the one who murdered the victim. And so while he was on the stand, The prosecutor said, "Sir, did you murder the victim? That's the subject of this trial." And he said, "No, I didn't." Well, the prosecutor thought that he committed perjury, that he lied under oath. And so he followed up that question. The prosecutor said, "Do you know the penalty for perjury, for lying under oath?" And the witness said, "Yes, sir. And the penalty for perjury is a whole lot less than the penalty for murder." And that's the way some people act. Two of the most vicious ways you can lie is either by saying something behind somebody's back that's not true, or by saying something face to face that's not true. There was a man who went to see his doctor one time, and the doctor examined him and said, "I want you to know something, sir. You're deathly sick." And the man said, "Well, I want a second opinion." The doctor said, "Well, you're ugly too. So I just want you to know that." If you respect the dignity of other people, then you realize that people deserve to be dealt with honestly, and that's what people want. In a poll a few years ago by U.S. News and World Report, people were asked the question, what's the most important characteristic or attribute of a true friend? 94% said honesty. Do you have a lot of friends? I hope you do. But the reason why we don't have lots of friends are there's so many people out here that can't be trusted. And oftentimes we're not marked by integrity. Number three, I should tell the truth because lying destroys character. I should tell the truth because lying destroys character. If you habitually lie, you're simply injecting into your character and your heart cancerous cells of dishonesty that will wind up destroying you. John chapter 8 verse 44 speaks of Satan. He is a liar and the father of all lies. Do you know what that means? You're never more like Satan than when you lie, because that is his specialty. Proverbs 11:3, just write it down. This verse is true. People who can't be trusted are destroyed by their own dishonesty. Now here's the reason why. Lying is not primarily a problem of your mouth. It's a problem of your heart. Remember what Jesus said? "For from the mouth speaks out that which is filling your heart." If you've been saved, you've been born again. And your heart should be transformed by the power of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now I want you to write this down if you haven't heard anything else. What is the real reason that we oftentimes lie? Here it is. I want you to write this down. It's because we don't trust God enough. We don't trust God enough to be with us and help us if we tell the truth and have to suffer the consequences for it. It is because we don't trust God enough to be with us and help us if we tell the truth and have to suffer the consequences for it. One of the most enduring symbols of New York City is the Brooklyn Bridge. And I want you to know that that great structure was built in 1872. But I want you to know that it was built, first of all, to facilitate foot traffic and horses and wagons. But I want you to know that when it was 11 years old, in 1883, people in New York City started rumors about the Brooklyn Bridge. They said it's deteriorating and the structure will not bear the load that goes across it daily. Well, I want you to know on May the 30th, 1883, there were people who were on the bridge that started that rumor. And all of a sudden, there was a stampede of people trying to get off that bridge because they thought it was going to collapse. 12 people were trampled and killed that day. Listen to me carefully. That bridge is now over 130 years old. Never collapsed. But I want you to know the rumors about that bridge let you know that rumors can literally destroy lives. What's wrong with our nation right now? Well, spiritual lostness. We have people in office who have lied to us. Now listen to me carefully, ladies and gentlemen. I have difficulty, this is just me, if a man will lie to his wife, you can mark it down, he's going to lie to you and rip you off. We were all told Social Security years ago when our fathers and mothers paid in Social Security, that's going to be there when you retire. Guess what? It got put into the general fund and all spent. Isn't that right? I heard a Democratic candidate this week come out and talk about protecting little children. And this same person, who's hard to look at, is standing by Planned Parenthood. Hello? Some people will tell you what you want to hear because they know there's going to be money in their pockets. You know what's wrong with lots of our churches? We've had too many liars in the pits. I've got four friends right now, no longer in the ministry, cheated on their wives. Going on a long time for some of them, they were up here proclaiming the word of truth every Sunday. What does that do to the witness of a church? You ought to be a pastor sometime, and you'll invite somebody to church, and they say, oh, is it so-and-so still go down there? Yeah. Well, you won't believe the way they cheated me in a business deal. Do you think they're going to come to our church? No. Are we all perfect? No. Do some people believe things about us that's untrue? Yes. Listen, ladies and gentlemen, our word ought to be our bond. My dad taught me some very simple things. In high school and college, I was not an honor student. In fact, I crammed 13 years into 12. Y'all got the math on that? Just to get it all started there. Wasn't an honor student until I got in my master's level. But here's what my dad said. He said, son, if a C is the best you can do, and that honestly that's the best you can do, that's acceptable. Praise God for grace, right? But then another thing he said, you give an honest day's work for honest day's pay. That's another reason why when you go to work in the mornings, we report to the office here or to the hospital wherever we're supposed to be chasing down some of our members, and we're not hard to find. And he also taught me this. He said, son, let your word be your bond. And you know what really irritates me? It's when I'm telling somebody the truth and they question my motives and call me a liar and call me a liar to other people. But you know what I found out about people like that? People who question your motives when you're telling the truth operate out of impure, conniving motives themselves. And that they try to place that characteristic on you. Folks, if we can't speak well of another, then we shouldn't say anything. And it never makes a person bigger because they made someone else smaller. So be so careful when you talk. Tell nothing but the truth. God, we need revival in our nation. We need revival in our church. We need revival in our home. and from Christians, may the words of truth from our mouths proceed. Will you stand right where you are in the Family Life Center, here in the Worship Center, in both buildings?